playing games is done. Adversaries all better run. We're coming up to reach the top. Unbeatable and we'll never stop. We're the ones in charge. Yeah. We're staying living large. Yeah. We're the one who fly. Yeah. They don't ever have a chance. Why do they even try? Everybody, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rock your body, yeah, yeah, yeah. Time to party, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause the backseat boys are back.
Yo, everybody, the Backseat Boys are back. I'm Johnny Cashmere here with a bonus episode tonight. Let's get our peeps in here. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good to see y'all. Tommy Grayson in the house. Whoop, whoop.
Hell yeah. We got a lot to go over, you guys. We got the weekend. This was Juggalo weekend. We're going to ask you about that. Hopefully you're going to tell us some behind the scenes, some fun that you had there. Right. And then you also have a big weekend coming up.
That's right. That's right.
We have Lavari going to be on here probably in about 15 minutes. And let's see who else we got. Skills the Great. What's up? Looking good, bro.
I think he's muted a little bit. I can't quite hear him.
What's going on?
Oh, there he is. There he is.
Shout out, everybody. What's going on, Johnny? Tommy?
What up, brother? Nation? Thank you. Thanks for being here, yo.
You already know.
Shouts out to everyone in the chat.
So, guys, real quick, we're going to have Lavari on here in a little bit. So let's show everyone this is the show for tonight.
Keep it moving now, can't you see? Keep it moving away from me. Keep it moving now, down near me. Keep moving, moving out the door now. Keep it moving now, can't you see? Keep it moving away from me. Keep it moving now, down.
So, Tommy, other than your song, this song gets stuck in my head the most.
Yeah, you would say so.
I woke up with it in my head today.
I don't think it's escaped me since he performed it at Roll the Dice a couple of weeks ago. So, you know.
I'm wearing my Lavari
key to
blue.
The city. Key to the city.
I'm sorry. Key to the city. I'm sorry. My memory is all like scatterbrained right now. Key to the city. That song has literally been stuck in my head since Key to the City on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. So excuse me, Skills the Great, if my memory is a little jumbled and I'm getting Roll the Dice and Keys to the City, you know, confused. But the
you
fact
know what
is
got
that
stuck in my head, you know what else got stuck in my head is Velcro song. I am not a rapper. Like that gets in my head too now.
Yes. Yes, it definitely
We're
does.
Talk more
a lot
about
of contagious
that.
Music at Spo.
Yeah, man. Things are getting crazy, right, Skills? That's why we need you, bro. You're in on this whole culture, bro. You are now our battle rap expert. Has there ever been such a thing in pro wrestling?
Not that I know of.
Yo.
I don't know about pro wrestling.
In WCW, back in Nitro, right, when they would bring in the luchadors, the world couldn't keep up, so they had to bring in Mike Tenay as the special like commentator to so that people understood what was going on. Skills, I kind of feel like that's what you're going to be for the battle rap community.
I got to put people on, right? Let them know what's going on. I'm here for it. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I love so, when like, universes collide.
Well, Ginger said, you know, right now, maybe a Spo music label should be created. I don't know. For any punk rock fans out there, you might know the name Infectious Grooves. And I definitely think that Lavari's song and the Backseat song are definitely some infectious grooves, if I say so myself.
Well, speaking of infectious, how was your weekend?
My weekend was interesting, to say the least. You know, I was up in Worcester, Massachusetts for a Juggalo weekend. Shouts out to all the family out there. Repping the 508. Shouts out to Whitney Payton. You know, she had a phenomenal set Saturday night. You know, she really brought the energy up. Shouts out to entire Chapter 17 fam, Darby O'Trill, Ouija Mac. You guys all killed it. And then, of course, you know, shouts out to JCW Juggalo Championship Wrestling. We filmed 4 future episodes of JCW Lunacy TV, which are set to air in the next couple of weeks. You know, it was a big weekend for the Backseat Boys. The first night on night one, we got to team with our Juggalo homie, Too Tough Tony, in 6-man tag. And then the next night, And then the next night we, you know, we took on Shane Mercer and Colby Carino in sick tag team action. So, you know, both nights were capped off by ICP performances. And, you know, what can I say other than it was, you know, it was spectacular. My girlfriend got to see her first ICP concert and, you know, then just spent the following Sunday, which was, you know, my birthday, just, you know, relaxing, laying low. And, you know, sure enough, just the grind never stops. You keep on moving. This week, JP and myself, we got four matches out in Detroit and Indianapolis for For Us Wrestling, Grindhouse Pro, and Horror Slam, just to name a few. So, you know, the grind never stops. You just, you always got to keep it moving now. Can't you see? Shouts out to Lavari.
I feel like in all four of these matches you have coming up, you're going to go in the locker room and the promoter is going to be like, you guys did not cut promos. You did not share enough stuff on stories for us. Like, how can you possibly share enough for four feds in 4 days? You're going to have to neglect someone.
I'm not trying to neglect anybody. I'm trying to give it all and
it's
give
inevitable.
It.
You're human.
Well, you know how it is, man. You know, the machine's never resting right now. You know, you got to treat it like it's a machine. And Spo Wrestling and the Backseat Boys are a machine. And in order to keep the machine going, you know, sometimes you just got to crunch those numbers. And that's what it is. We're in crunch time. You know, we got the 25. We got the 25 years of the Backseat Boys, you know, approaching. So we got news about that, you know. So not a whole lot of time to reflect on, you know, the birthday and whatnot, because it's just, we always just keep it moving. You know the deal.
Yeah. No time to do anything for your birthday. Sorry.
No, none.
I love you, man. Happy birthday.
Happy
good stuff.
Birthday.
Thank you guys. Now, if you didn't catch the drift, I got four shows coming up. I got a long time on the road. I'm going to let Johnny Cashmere and Skills the Great take over from here. Everyone, I love all of you. Thank you all for tuning in. Shouts out to all the fam. Shouts out to everybody. Spo Wrestling, Backseat Boys 25th anniversary. Details coming soon. Thank you guys.
Hey.
Nice. Skills, it's just going to be me and you in a second, brother.
I'm in it.
Are you sticking around, Tommy, or are you leaving?
Well, I just want to pay you a goodbye. So, you know, just want to give you all a shouts out. Gave Tommy a birthday shout out on BJ and DG Talk Wrestling this week. You know, thanks guys. I appreciate it. Appreciate all the love, appreciate all the support. And now I'm gonna leave it to y'all.
Yep. It's like, I'll tell you, Skills, you know how they say like some girls they'll have birthday months, like they'll celebrate their birthday for a whole month. I feel like if you're a backseat, you can get away with that.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know who else could probably get away with that? The Feral Face. I feel like he could have a birthday.
His month is October. Birthday's on Halloween.
It's not.
It is.
No, it's not. He was not born on Halloween.
October 31st.
Then is that a Scorpio, I think? I'm a Scorpio, November 6th. That explains a lot between him and I, actually. You know, soldiers bond on the battlefield. He and I bonded on the battlefield. By the way, Donnie B may or may not be here. We're hoping he'll be here soon. Lavari should be here soon, everybody. But Skills, bro, we finally did it. We signed our next date. So we now know what the next event. It's going to be the 25-year anniversary of the Backseat Boys brand.
Congratulations.
Me and my partner, man. Trent Acid, with Donnie B, started the Backseat Boys. And it was actually our first ever time doing it was in Egg Harbor, the city I live in right now. So wow. A lot has come full circle. There's a lot of coincidences saying, hey, you're going the right way. So we're going to do it the next event. Now, I will tell you all this. The next event, we do know the date. It is in the month of April. But I'm not going to tell everyone the date right now because we're still booking talent. Still got to get talent there. What we do know, Skills, is a huge tag team match.
I would think so, right? For the 25th anniversary of the Backseat Boys will only be right, right?
Right, but we also have the debut of a brand new tag team. Uh-oh. Velcro and Tay-Rock. This will be Tay-Rock's wrestling debut, his first time stepping in an actual tag team wrestling match.
Wow. I'm excited. Big, right? Yeah, I'm excited to see that. That one's gonna be good one. And they're not fighting no slouches either, because they got their asses whooped in the last event.
Well, they were attacked. James
Ellsworth wasn't playing no games.
James Ellsworth and Christian Ross. Christian Ross is a monster of a man, by the way.
Yeah, that dude was huge.
Yeah. He was huge. So yeah. James
and Ellsworth, everybody thought James was coming to play around, and it was all business. I don't think they expected that, though. I think they expected this funny character, and they expected to have this wrestling match. James wasn't having any of that.
No, he wasn't. And, you know, I got to say, I didn't expect K-Rock to get on the microphone and do a battle rap right there impromptu like that. Did you see that coming?
No, not at all. I stood like there in the headlights when I started hearing him rhyme there. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. He's actually battle rapping in a wrestling ring. It was crazy.
That is
I hear him rap about it, but now he actually did it in an actual wrestling ring, which is crazy. You're talking about full circle.
Yeah, we're giving him an opportunity to do what we know he can do. I mean, you know, it's like when you see certain people that just have it inside of them and it just has to get out. I see that in Velcro. Velcro is like a ready-made gimmick, bro. He came to us already fleshed out. Already a gimmick. Like I've taken people off the street and trained them to be pro wrestlers, worked with them on their gimmicks, figured out what their gear would be and stuff, and blah blah blah. I didn't have to do any of that with Velcro or T-Rock. It's like a new breed of wrestler. Yeah. It's almost like the Logan Paul to a smaller scale.
No, because everything was gimmick growing up, you know. So if you're coming into this business, you have to have some type of gimmick, you know. Can't leave it up to somebody else.
No, you can't. You can't. But I mean, look at these guys. Like they match, you know, they look good together. They're serious. You know, Velcro showed up in paint. I have never seen Velcro not in paint. Keep that in mind. So, you know, he's like Muda, you know, in that aspect of kayfabe.
Oh, definitely. And he's in character 100% of the time.
Exactly.
Them outside of that.
Exactly. Now, in my day, when like me and the SAT started, being in character like that, you were kind of seen as goofy. But today, it almost seems like it's applauded and celebrated. So,
yeah, and I feel like they don't do enough of that today either, though. I feel like kayfabe is a little bit dead today.
It is.
You know, so that's great to see that right there. That's like actual old school morals right there.
No, I agree. I agree, dude. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with that. I'm also excited to get Lavari on here in a little bit. You guys, we're going to talk to him. He's recently was featured on Jimmy Kimmel Live and a few other noteworthy television programs. So I'm going to ask him about that. And we're going to find out a little bit about his career and how he likes his new venture as the manager of Post Game. So last event, I believe, he sang them to the ring, but then he sat in on commentary, so he wasn't actually around the ring. This next event, I understand he's actually going to make his managerial debut and be around the ring for the whole match.
Also, he went away. He didn't give Rerun. He let Rerun just run around there with no one to interrupt.
Uh-huh. The Rerun around.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's an advantage.
There seems to be something brewing between these two tag teams and your tag team. Three trios.
All the tag
really.
Teams, man. If you think about it, this is a backseat boy promotion. You know, it's nothing but the best tag teams in the world here at this promotion. So, nothing but the best here. There's no slacking here in this tag team division here. One of the best in the world.
Yep. Well, we're excited about the 25 years of the Backseat Boys. Donnie B has promised he's going to be in the house in April. We're going to announce the date soon. Listen, we're going to announce the date sometime between tomorrow and next Monday. Mm-hmm. So hopefully by next Monday, we will know at the latest. And boom, we're going to hit the ground running and we're going to put together a huge event. This last event, obviously, we had the weather threat. We're not going to have that this time. And, you know, my buddy, Mike O'Connor, he said something in the chat earlier about how Tone Love, wasn't able to make it last event because of the weather. But he says, we have more SPO original music in the making as we speak, because Tone Love is actually writing a custom song.
For Spo? A Spo theme?
For Spo, but it's actually going to be for the Patriots protege.
Ah.
So he's writing a song. Oh,
so the Patriots protege is still on the way?
Still on the way, yep.
Uh-huh.
So Patriots protege will debut in April, we're hoping. And then what'll happen is the song that Tone Love from Tough Crew creates will actually be the theme song for the Patriots protege. So he'll actually have a custom theme song by Tone Love of all people. So
wow.
I know, right? It'll be pretty neat.
Will Tone Love perform that song?
He's going to perform it. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep. He's going to perform it at the next show. I know. I can't.
That's amazing. So you're going to have Tone Love create an original content for a theme song and then perform it. That's awesome. It's incredible.
Yep. And I also spoke to Nail, the Hood Prince Charming, and he is in for the next event as well. So I think it's pretty much official to say, I haven't talked to Willie Dange, but everyone else that was at the last event, as far as special performances, will be at the next event again. So you're going to get to see all of them again. You're going to get to see Lavari. You're going to get to see Nail, the Hood Prince
and
Charming.
And his thing starting off the show, you know, great energy, great way to start off the show. So,
you know, he had a double shot. He had to go down to Delaware right after because he had another performance. So that's why he had to do ours first and leave. So he hit me up just today. Working. Right. But since he's from Chester, who better to set the pace of the event?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
than one of their own. But he actually hit me up and said, yo, you know, I'm not going to have to double shot this time. So I can actually stay and enjoy the show and be more involved and stuff. So that's music to my ears when I hear stuff like that.
Yeah. And he missed a great show. It sucks. You know, he was doing business, but who doesn't want to see that show? Who doesn't want to be a part of
the
Spo Nation? Yep.
Right. Awesome. Right. So at the event this past Saturday, a week and 2 days ago now, Lavari made his managerial debut with Post Game. Now, Post Game, this was only their second time in SPO wrestling, and they're not exactly fan favorites. So here's what happened, everybody.
Nothing personal. That's who he was with.
Yeah, he was with them. I feel like we set him up for failure. Lavari, yes. How's it going, brother?
What's up, guys?
Shout out. What's going on, champ?
How's it going, man? Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, I'm about to take this up, but you know, let's represent. Fly in the sky, go birds. All right. Nice. But we're talking about wrestling now.
Yeah.
All right. Do I feel set up? No, I don't feel set up because I did my homework, and also backstage, I had a talk with a few people. They're like, listen, the crowd might be very vicious. You know, there might be some booing going on. You know, it's not necessarily directed towards you. I was like, and my exact words were, I said, you know what? If I could take it from Jimmy Kimmel and national TV, I could take it from here. So, yeah. So that happened, but then after the performance, you know, people were coming up to me saying, oh, that was great. That was good. Yeah.
No, you did phenomenal, man. You picked it up so well. You came into this world, this crazy world of professional wrestling, and you fit right in, bro. I told you that at the event.
Very unbothered by the booze.
Because I'm crazy too. That's why.
That's it. Red's in the feather. Tell us a little bit about yourself, man. So obviously you've been on Jimmy Kimmel. You've charted on the Billboard charts. You were number one in dance music. That's amazing stuff. So give us a second. Talk about yourself a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure. So I just want to clarify. Jimmy Kimmel made fun of me. So I have performed at a Trump fashion event. And Jimmy Kimmel took the clip of me performing and proceeded to what he thought was making fun of me, but then he ended up making me go viral and doing a catchphrase that he said on his show. He said, "Who needs Taylor Swift? They've got Lavari." So him trying to, like, you know, kind of roast me or whatever made me go viral. And then these other outlets picked up on it. Hassan Piker, comedian Chris D'Elia, The Daily Beast. So we have to thank Jimmy Kimmel. And even if I didn't go viral with that particular performance, it's okay, because I was on friggin' Jimmy Kimmel, regardless of the difference of opinion that I may have with him. You know, I'm actually this week celebrating the success of my first Billboard charting single with my album Moment of Love. It turned 5 years old on Valentine's Day. So this whole week I'm celebrating the success of that. Yeah.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yes. Thank you.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful, man. So, all right. So they say success is the best revenge.
Mm-hmm.
So Jimmy Kimmel tried to spite you and ended up exalting you and brought more attention to you, and you started going viral. And what happened from there? How did all of the little doorways open that you ended up being on all these various TV shows, etc.?
No, that wasn't Jimmy Kimmel. That was all me. Let's not give Jimmy Kimmel that credit. All those previous shows, all those previous things happened way before Jimmy Kimmel. Wheel of Fortune, Match Game, Judge Jerry Springer, all that happened. Jenny Jones back in the day when I first started my career, all that happened before Jimmy Kimmel. But Jimmy Kimmel had me on the show, obviously it brought me to a much broader audience. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Prime. So did you say you were on Jenny Jones?
That's yeah, cool. A lot of people don't know that because I didn't even have a demo at the time. I'm talking about this is like 2000.
Are you performed on Jenny Jones? Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that because I didn't even have a demo out at the time. It was when it was I was still living at home, but it was a segment called "You Said I Had No Talent Back in School. Look at Me Now." So I was on it with some friends, and it was almost like a kind of gong show, a judge show. They had judges. So they gave me 7, 8, and 7. I remember the score to this very day. Mm-hmm. 7, 8, and 7.
Dude,
yeah,
that's another success is the best revenge thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing about success is the best revenge is I remember when my very first EP came out, and there was some person, we're not going to name his name because we're not going to give him that, you know, that energy. Right. But somebody had wrote on one of their blogs, "Lavari, they Jedi mind tricked you big time. We will never, ever see you on the Billboard charts, and we will definitely never see you at the Grammys." And fast forward less than 10 years after that person posted that, I was at the Grammys and nice. I had my first Billboard charting single. So I did actually repost that when I did go to the Grammys and have the Billboard charting single. I did post that, even though I'm saying don't give the person the energy back then. I did. And of course I had this with it. So yeah, mm-hmm. That's one example of success is the best of doing. Sure. Yeah.
I understand why you're fitting in the wrestling business now. Do you see it, Skills?
Yeah, perfect.
Is it
you might be a little crazy just to even consider it.
It's all good, man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all good. But I want to say, stepping aside from talking about revenge and all that, I want to say that I really, really appreciate just the support in general that you guys have shown me, just, you know, being new to the whole world. I'm so grateful for that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You know,
we're the lucky ones. We're lucky to have you. We're lucky to have you, bro. And I want to thank Michael Connor for bridging me and you. Now we know each other, and I feel very fortunate. So I'm glad to have you part of this ride, this wild, crazy ride with us. And like I said, your feathers are just the right color that they fit perfectly in our bright landscape. So welcome and make yourself at home, bro. Let's see what you can do. Like I said, next event, you're not sitting in on commentary during the match. You got to stay around the ring and help your guys.
Ringside manager. Now, can we explain what that means? Let's talk about that if people don't know what that means.
Let me bring in my mentor.
I know what that means.
Let me bring in my mentor, Donnie B. What's up, Donnie?
Donnie B.
Donnie B,
you're muted.
He's muted, that's all. He can unmute himself. But Donnie B is actually, and Skills are both two of the best managers. Skills is the manager of champions, and Donnie B has been a manager since the early 90s. So I was going to let him tell you, but we're having trouble with the sound. But yeah, as far as a manager goes, you have to strategize. You have to come up. There he is.
It's only 2025. I'll figure this out before the end of the year.
What's going on, Donnie?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, folks? How you doing? Skills,
good to have you, brother.
See you.
Yeah, man. So sorry I'm late.
Lavari is going to be making his managerial debut in April, and he's just asking how would you describe the job of a ringside manager?
The job of a ringside manager, pretty easy, man. You have to know how to stay out of the way, to listen to the talents. You have to do exactly what they tell you to do if you don't really know the business too well. And the biggest thing is don't distract from the in-ring action. You are the garnishment on the plate. Very few people ever pay money to see the manager. The manager is awesome. He can get over. The key to a good manager, especially a heel manager, if he has heat, he can transfer the heat to whoever he's managing. So they're instantly over as well. But in your situation, like I said, just try to stay, you know, stay with it. Listen to the talents. Listen to exactly what they're telling you to do. Try to add to the match when applicable. Make all your stuff look believable. Believe what you're saying if you have a chance to be on the microphone. If you don't believe it, nobody else will. That's what I would say. The biggest thing is just to stay out of the way of anything. If you know, you're walking around the ring, just try to remember where you are at all times. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch the fans. See if anybody's taking a swipe at you or anything like that. Other than that, it's pretty straightforward. If you have good talent that you're managing, I don't know who he's managing, but you should
post game
take their lead.
These guys.
Okay. Okay, so it's a tag match. So there'll be a lot going on.
Right.
And like I said, just pay attention to what they have for you. So realize that it could be called on it could be an audible. Sometimes you have to change on the fly. Be cognizant what's going on in the match. Look for injuries. Look, you might have to do something. They might give you a cue or a signal or something to maybe distract the referee if it's needed. I don't, whatever it is, but just pay attention, keep your head on the swivel, and just listen to whoever the senior guy is calling most of that in the match, and you should be fine.
Well, Tony B and Skills, the great, I'm so honored to receive both of your advice. Thank you so much. It's definitely an honor and a privilege. So I am in the right direction then, because when I was backstage with the guys, the very first thing I said was, I said, tell me what you're going to do. I don't want to get in your way. That is the first thing that I said. And then they were telling me how they plan to come walk out. And I said, I know you guys getting ready. Can you please just very quickly come out, or at least let's peek out through the side here. Just show me exactly where you're going to walk. And they did.
Perfect.
And then when they did come out, that's exactly what I did. Cause there was some choreography that I planned on doing. And once I saw them doing them, I was like, nope, it's them. It's their thing. You know what I'm saying? So like my choreography went out the window because I didn't want to move my arm and mess up anything that they already had planned. So I'm glad that I'm on the right track.
That's awesome. The manager is there to enhance the talent. The talent is not there to enhance the manager.
Right.
If it was a play, the manager should be viewed as the opening act. Always. And even though behind the scenes and creative and all that, the manager might be the most important cog in the entire unit. But as far as that goes, the manager is the window dressing. So as long as you remember that and you listen, you'll be fine.
Okay. Well, that's also going to be a little hard because we got to give myself a little credit here, Donnie. You may not know who I am, but I am a Billboard charting artist and the iTunes Top 40 artist. So there are, so I understand what you're saying, but I'm also not exactly an extra either, but I do know that it is about them. But we're going to give myself a little bit of credit too. So we're going to pepper that in. I understand exactly what you're saying. And I do get it, which is what I did, like I said, when I went out there. But I definitely got to navigate around that too, but I absolutely get it. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
Of course.
I was going to say that, Lavari, for you, but I'm glad.
Donnie B is absolutely right. Cause I did that. Like the first thing I did, I didn't go out there and say, oh yeah, we got this, I got that. They don't give a shit. No, they're doing their match. You know what I mean? So I went in there. One of them knew who I was, which I was honored. Like, oh, man. But I said, great, I'm honored. I said, but this is about you guys. Tell me where you're going so I don't get in your way. So I totally get that. But I'm also saying, of course, people obviously some people did know who I was there too. You know, so you're equal there, balance.
You're there for a reason. LeVar, you're there for a reason. But you got to understand, Donnie and me, we're used to taking students off the street and making them managers and giving them that speech and telling them, hey, you know, they're not, they don't have a pedigree like you. So,
but you're there for a reason. No. But the fundamentals still lie. That is the fundamentals. It's not the LeVar show. It's them. So those fundamentals still lie 100%. 100% for sure. And I'm grateful.
That's why you're part of this.
You'll be fine.
Exactly. LeVar, seriously, that what you just said, you're going to be just great, bro. You're going to probably have a career in wrestling now if you think like that. You'll see.
As long as I don't get sideswipe punched in the head because I don't have hair to cover me.
Smart. Skills, you got any managerial advice for one Mr. Antonio LeVar before he has to jet?
The main thing, Donnie already said it, stay out the way.
Right.
Know what's going on in the match and be very careful. Somebody might land on you.
Right.
And LeVar, I'll give you my advice. My advice is think of what is unique to you and we'll exaggerate it because they're not going to get that anywhere else on the show.
Got it. Thank the three That's of you all so point. Much. Honor. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We're thrilled to have you, man. And I'm thrilled to see what you do next show with your guys. We're going to be announcing matches as soon as we announce the date. So keep checking back. Follow us at Spo Wrestling on all social media platforms. And don't forget to follow LeVar on Instagram at LeVar Official. Follow him now, everybody. Don't forget. Do it right now.
Let's go.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And my next film, Clown Motel 3, is coming soon, and I'll be filming A Soldier's Descent coming this summer. So looking forward to that.
Wow. And you have another song coming out too, right?
Yes. Thank you. Speaking of manager. Moment of Love. Like I said, I'm celebrating the 5-year anniversary of my number one iTunes album, Moment of Love, which has my first Billboard charting single on it, No Day Like Today. And in celebration of it, we have a remix version of the title track, Moment of Love, that's being serviced right now to radio. And the remixer is Eric Cupper, and he has remixed number one songs for legends like Madonna, Diana Ross, The Village People, Cher. So I'm super, super honored to have Mr. Eric Cupper remixing on this project.
Huge, man. Congratulations.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Listen, you're welcome to come by and keep us posted anytime, man. Anytime. We're always interested in hearing what's going on in your world. You have a very interesting life, man, and we're happy to throw our support behind you, man. We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. And again, thank the three of you y'all for your advice, and it's an honor to get it from you guys. Thank you so very much.
You got it, brother. We'll talk to you soon, man. God bless.
God bless y'all.
Man, what a great guy. So happy to have him.
Very cool.
Yeah. And he came in, man, just like he said, dude. You know, he was excited. He got there early. He was willing to help do anything we needed, Donnie. That's huge. And, dude, the crowd, like, he's a natural. It's because his music is like dance music, and the crowd isn't a dance music crowd. Watch this reaction he got, Donnie. Just watch this. He's even in an Eagles jersey, but
to do with the post game got so much heat.
Yeah, he could definitely.
If they would have came out with Primal Fear, I think they would have just the whole roof would have fell off of that place.
I agree. I think putting him with post game is the right move.
Yes,
he's got post game written all over him. You put him in a pair of sunglasses, he is a member of post game.
You can't teach charisma. Either you have it or you don't. You can't buy it. You can't teach it. You can't train it. You either walk into a room and you have charisma and people might not know who you are, but they know you're something, or you don't. Nobody wants to see an ordinary Joe. Nobody wants to see their neighbor in the wrestling business. That's what the wrestling business is. It's a business of carnies and larger than life people ran by larger than life people. That's what it's always going to be. That's what it's always going to be. He's cool, man. He's definitely over. Just from that little clip right there, I could tell that he's over. And that's half the battle, getting over. How many times do you see a manager at ringside? Nobody knows who he is or what he's doing. He's the shits. He's just some goof. And they're like, they threw him out there for the night. Look at Skills. Well, even if I never met Skills before, if I saw Skills walking into a room, I'd be like, this guy's something. I don't know what it is, but he's something, and I want to see more of him. Like, you can't take your eyes off Skills the Great when he's at ringside. You just want to see what he's going to do. You want to hear him. You want to listen to him. It's the truth. And, you know, even if you can't, if he's not the greatest worker or bump taker or cuts a 10-minute eloquent promo, you still know that Skills is something. That's the difference. That's the guys like Skills and all the wannabes. So big ups to Skills.
Hell yeah. Appreciate you, Donnie. Thank you so much.
Love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. Damn, thank you so much.
Getting the love.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Work Donnie, hard. Speaking
of like ready-made gimmicks, look at Velcro and Tay Rock.
Wow.
Like, dude, that's they're ready to go. You know, like Velcro on the left is a rap rock star from Philly, and Tay Rock on the right is a battle rapper. And they're both starting to train. We're trying to get a wrestling school open. And they're gonna make their debut. Velcro already wrestled, but they're going to do a tag match this next event against James Ellsworth and Christian Ross. So it's going to be pretty crazy to see Tay Rock finally get in the ring.
Yeah, and Tay Rock is a legendary battle rapper as well. Like, he's a legendary one. There's a whole bunch of rappers, but he's legendary, this guy.
That's awesome, man. It definitely looked like, again, I didn't really know who they were, but I would want to see more of them. They look like something. They look different. That's the key, man. Think about wrestling in the 80s and 90s, the Bundys and Kamalas and all the gimmicks and stuff. That's what made wrestling over. Now, I mean, you still have a handful of guys that differentiate, but that's the biggest key. Nobody wants Cookie Cutter.
No. And yes, that is a match announcement. That match was made last event. So we just have to announce the date of the event coming up in the next week. And yes, that match is a go. That tag match will absolutely happen. Donnie, what do you think about this? 25 years of the Backseat Boys.
I can't believe it. It seems like, as the guy who thought of it, I mean, I can't believe that's 25 years ago, dude. Like, I remember being in the car, listening to that song, and it was my Mustang, my convertible 1997 Mustang, and I was just driving back from the Osprey, and that song was on, and I just thought of it. I just thought of the gimmick right then and there. I really did. I was like, this could be cool, because no one's ever done it, or no one is doing it. And that's how it was formed, man. I said, the Backseat Boys. That was it.
You know, people don't realize it, but I think we were part of a group of gimmicks, because didn't you also have a Donnie Bon Jovi and a Matrix all at the same time?
Matrix, they were a little earlier than that. DBJ, Donnie Bon Jovi was already kind of doing that. That was his gimmick. I didn't think of that. DBJ really? Was awesome. Oh, yeah, no. I added Sammy and Dave. It was the two kids. They were the Ring Crew Express from Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Marcos and Dunn.
Yeah.
When I used them, I called them Sammy and Dave from Van Halen. And I made them the roadies for Donnie Bon Jovi. So it was DBJ with his roadies, Sammy and Dave. Those kids were cool. I really liked them. They were hard workers too. Yeah, I know. Donnie's gonna try to make it to the next one. I saw
that. Oh yeah, bro. We need a Donnie kick.
I know. I'd be there. I'm right in the middle of cheer season. That's where I was all weekend in Wildwood.
Well,
congratulations.
Can the cheerleaders teach you an even better Donnie kick?
Ooh, I am very flexible. I've trimmed up quite a bit since August.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brother. It, bro. If so dude, you might see yo, one. If you do a Donnie kick at the anniversary, I'll just keel over. I'll be
called home by God after that. Yeah, you could call it a day.
That's it. I've done everything I have need. To do.
When you went up, God would say, "What are you doing here, Johnny?" Well, I saw Donnie hit a Donnie kick in 2025. I'm good.
That's all I needed.
Over there, John, needed, behind Verdi, yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Donnie, what do you have coming up, bro?
It's been a hectic few weeks. I missed last week. I was in beautiful Key West, Florida.
Yeah, tell us about it.
I love Key West. I don't know if you guys ever been there, man. Key West is like Nashville, but for older folks and a little less chaotic. It's great. Duval Street is the main street of partying. Just cool bars and cool atmosphere and great scenery and cool little shops and boutiques. My wife and I were hosted by H2O Suites. We went there, had a beautiful swim out suite with our own private pool, private bar, everything, man. It was nuts.
Nice. What's a swim out? Hold on. What's a swim out suite?
Imagine having a ground level suite and you walk out and you have your own little swimming pool just for you. It's like 8 foot by like 4 foot. It's just yours. A heated swimming pool just for you.
Have you happened to see any of the White Lotus seasons?
I have not.
I feel like Were you like, are you one of the guys that goes there and expects certain things or there's hell to pay?
No,
or are you like
I'm never like that. I'm easygoing. Okay. I'm cool as hell. We checked in. There was a great concierge service that we had. Wilfred was his name. Super awesome. Hooked us up with our golf cart rental. Everybody here has golf carts. So we drove that all week. Met some friends down there. Hung out with them a little bit. We actually watched the Super Bowl was a little bit of a letdown, honestly, because of the game. But I thought Duval Street would be a little more crowded. We watched the first half at Irish Kevin's. If you know, you know. And then the second half, we watched at a very famous bar called Hog's Breath. It's over. It's an old school bar that looked like it would be on a corner in Philly somewhere. But we went to Hog's Breath, watched it. And then we just went where every night we just went where the night took us, my wife and I. And it was awesome, dude. It was our only second trip in 15 years since we've had the kids alone. So that was cool. It was great, man.
Was it humid? Is it real humid?
No, bro. In all my years of travel, it was probably the nicest 5 days of weather I've ever seen. It was 80 degrees every day.
Nice.
Zero humidity, zero cloud. I mean, no wind. It was crazy. We did a sunset cruise one night on a big old-fashioned like sailboat.
Ooh.
We did that. Yeah, that was cool as hell. You would have liked that.
Who'd you work on the cruise?
Nobody. There was a really cool captain. You got like top shelf. I don't drink, but you got top shelf drinks and hors d'oeuvres and all that. It was all included. It was cool. We went to the very famous restaurant out there called Latitudes. You have to take a ferry to an island to get to the restaurant. So we got booked there. That was a tough booking. Had to pull some strings for that. But
yeah, you can't run out on that check.
No. Big ups to Rick Ratchett. He had friends there. He knows people. Rick Ratchett is over in Key West.
Was he there?
He is. No, he was there the week before me. We were trying to make it so we could run into each other, but he was there. He left. This is a true story. The plane I arrived on was the plane he was going home on. How funny is that? I got there on a Thursday afternoon. Yeah, from Newark. He was flying into Newark on the flight back, which is crazy.
Wow. You know, I did some research on the Florida Keys, and if you make a key lime pie anywhere but the Florida Keys, even if you use key limes, it doesn't count because you have to put it on the windowsill to let the moisture in.
You are correct. The key lime pie, it's a bit of a work. It's not my cup of tea. It's all right, but it's like you got to be a mock and go down there and at least take one bite of it. Like, you know, all right, I had the key lime pie, but, you know, everybody claims to have the world's best key lime pie, but,
dude, right. I can eat a whole Marie Callender's right out of the freezer section. Key lime pie. Wow. Dude, they're so good.
Yeah, no, you'd be a big mark for down there. It's just a great town. Just really cool vibe. And we flew right into the Key West airport, which we had never done before, which is cool as hell.
Yeah.
A lot easier. And we've flown into Miami and Fort Lauderdale, and then you have to make the drive over to Seven Bridges. It's like 4 or 5 hour drive.
Right.
Through all the bridges, through the Keys.
Bridges. You do that on Christmas Eve, the Italian.
Nah, it's a cool drive to do once. It's like we drove the North Shore in Honolulu once, all around the island. I'd equate it to that. Like once you do it, like the North Shore I would do again, but, you know, everything else I wouldn't. Oh, yeah, I see. Of course the Eagles fans are happy with the Super Bowl. That's not what I'm talking about. Of course the Eagles won. Big ups to them. Big congratulations to the Eagles. I'm just talking from a competitive game point of view. The more competitive the game, the more busy the establishments will be. By halftime, they all cleared out. Everybody left. So if you're looking for a party atmosphere, that's not the game to have it at.
But, well, you could have just headed to Broad Street right after the game, like everyone else.
Yeah. No, it was great, man. It was a great trip. And then this weekend, we were in Wildwood. I got back last night for cheer. Great times. It was just – it's a good time right now. It's a very good, busy time for me personally and the family, and everybody's doing good. And it's like in life – you have your ups and downs, like a wave up and down. Everybody who listens to this is going to have your up and down waves. When you're on top of the wave, enjoy it, because the waves do come, man. And if you're going through a bad time right now or it's a little bit of a lull, just hang in there. Every day you get up is a chance to change it. That's what I always tell everybody. Just have faith. Trust your own process. Keep moving forward. If you got 2 hands, 2 feet, and you can walk and get up every day and remain positive, there's nothing you can't do.
That's right. Traveling always gives me a bird's eye view of my life, and I always find a different perspective when I come back.
You never know how good or bad you have it until you travel. My advice to any youngster out there, and young as anybody under 52, like me, I'm 52. So I would say travel, and it doesn't have to be super expensive. You can travel anywhere at any time if you have the freedom and the time. Just get out there and see the rest of the world. Don't live as a fear monger that other countries hate us and all that bullshit. It's all work. Just go out there and just taste reality, taste the world, man. Just
that's it.
It's a huge world.
Sit on the windowsill and just suck up the air like a key lime pie.
Yeah. I mean, I've done probably more travel in the last 15 years than I did in the 40 before that, especially with me and my wife. And I don't regret any of it. I regret not doing it sooner. I regret when I was probably skills age or, my early 20s, 25. I wish I would have traveled a little bit more. I mean, we were busy with wrestling and I have no regrets. The road was our travel. It was fine. I loved
right.
it. But it was different.
Right.
You either have the money or the time. Very few times in life do you have both. If you have tons of time, you don't have the money. And if you have tons of money, then you don't have time. I'm fortunate. I'm at a time in my life right now where I have a little bit of both. So, because nothing is promised, I have no idea if I'm going to be here tomorrow. I think I will be, but I have definitely no idea if I'm going to be here a month from now, a year from now. Anything can happen. So I'm living my life now to that when I do get called upstairs, I can say, dude, it was an awesome run. That's it. I'm in my run. This is all. We're all in our runs right now. That's it,
bro. I'll lend you money if I can borrow some time.
I would do it in a heartbeat, man. I would just take you with me everywhere. But you'd love Key West.
Dude, I'm excited as hell about to go to Key West eventually. It's on my bucket list, and I have a very short bucket list. But Key West.
What else is on it?
Any key. So low key. Honestly, I want to see New Zealand. I think it's the purple, literally purple mountains.
Yeah, no, I know. Have you been to Italy?
Yeah. I definitely want to go to Sicily.
Sicily's before over. I Italy's over.
That's
Italy,
the other.
And Italy will change.
I wouldn't mind seeing the. And
who? I didn't hear the last one.
I'm excited. And the pyramids too. I'd like to see. What about you, Skills? Where are you going to get to in your life?
I have no idea, to be honest, man. Just happy to be here, man, for the run. No, just like Donnie said, you know. Chester. We're not promised tomorrow, Chester, PA. So every day's a party.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, bro. And listen, you might not know where you want to go. I didn't know. I had no idea how old are you, Skills?
I'm in my 30s.
Yeah, see, if I was when I was in my 30s, I had no idea that good I wanted answer. To go to Italy. No, that's an awesome answer. I always say early 30s. I always say that I was in the early, no matter what decade in, I was in the early. But yeah, I didn't know I wanted to go to all those places until I got a little older and I said, oh shit, like Hawaii, Italy, Turks and Caicos, Key West, like all these different places I've been to. It's like, man, I didn't appreciate it. When I was your guys' age, I probably wouldn't have appreciated it as much. I would have been like, eh, but now I do. And I just wish my goal is to try to expound that as much as I can, especially to young workers or young people in the business. If you get a chance to travel for the business, I don't care if you take a loss. Go anywhere. Go to different countries and work. Johnny, one of the best trips we ever had was Trinidad and Tobago. I still talk about it to this day. And we would never got that if it wasn't DeAngelis or Alaska those couple times for DeAngelis. I mean, there you go. Wrestling, pro independent wrestling paid for those trips for us. So I tell all these workers out there, cast your line. Cast your net. You never.
You guys worked in Alaska?
We did several times for Steve DeAngelis, Johnny Trent, and I. Skills, I got a story for you. Within a 24-hour period, Johnny, myself, Trent, Chris Daniels, Low Key, Frankie Kazarian, Nova, all of us were swimming in the waters of Trinidad and Tobago. And 24 hours later, we were in Alaska for a show, and we were having a snowball fight outside of the hotel. So within 24 hours, we were in the waters of Trinidad and Tobago to a snowball fight in Alaska, and wrestling did that.
And the names you just named,
true story. I have the
picture. Legendary.
Yep. You have the picture, Johnny. You've seen it.
Yeah. And we were picked up. Remember, we were picked up by a guy that sold marijuana because it was legal.
Tried to sell it to us. Yeah. So selling us. Yeah.
Did you guys see that WWE removed marijuana from their banned substances?
I'm not surprised. It's almost at this point, you almost have to because it's legal in like half the country. I'm not surprised at all.
And weren't there guys who were like, look, I'm going to smoke weed. Just find me. And they would just take it out of their pay.
Yeah. Back in the day, I'm sure Rob, that's what derailed Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, Rob was still over and he was a huge star, but Van Damme, he got busted with weed going into Canada after he won the belt and Vince shit on him. And Vince, that's why they took it off him. And, weed was legal everywhere.
when I was a kid in the 80s, and who was it?
Hacksaw
and Sheik on the turnpike. What was that? Was that weed?
It was cocaine. Hacksaw and Sheik wrestled at the Asbury Park Convention Center that night. I was at the show. The next day, yes, I was there, bro. It was the Asbury Park Convention Center. The next day, my dad, we used to get the Asbury Park Press paper. The next day in the afternoon, my dad was reading the paper and he goes, look, and he showed us the article that said Sheik and Slaughter Duggan and Sheik were arrested on the side of the road after a traffic stop for having cocaine. And I just remember seeing it. And like, I wasn't really smart to the business. I was a kid, but I was like, wait a minute. Were they in two different cars? Like, how did they get stopped? And I'm reading it and I'm like, oh my God, they were together in the same car. Like, even though they hate each other, they must've said, well, let's just travel together.
Right.
Like, I remember it like it was yesterday, dude.
Well, cocaine was involved. So you believe it.
Yeah. And Nova was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, look, it says right here in the paper that the Sheik and Duggan were arrested. And he's like, how can that be? They fought that night. I'm like, yeah, they were in the same car. I was 10, I think 9 or 10 when it happened. But yeah, that was the Asbury Park Convention Center. Yeah.
And it had to have happened within miles of your house because it was on the parkway, wasn't it?
It was on the parkway. They were coming back from Asbury, heading up north, and they got stopped by a troop, probably speeding or whatever, and they probably gimmicked out of his mind when they searched the vehicle, and I think they found it in his bag. Now it would have never floated. It was warrantless search. They ripped through his bag and found it. If you read the particulars, I read the particulars on that case once, and I was like, this never would have made it out of the bullpen in today's court. Like, they would have laughed this right out of court. But that's how it was back then. You could rifle through a car and do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. So you looked at it. You looked into the case?
I read it. Yeah, I read the case details. It was potent knowledge, but I read that case probably 20 years ago at this point. But it was funny reading it. I was like, wow, look at this.
Is that like you have to have maybe a certain clearance to see?
No, I remember somehow, some way, it was somebody got a hold of the case and it was online, like on a wrestling site.
Yeah, we got to find the
PDF. I'll try to find it, but I remember reading all the particulars. They had like all their information. I just remember being like, wow, the Sheik's older than I thought. He was like, but he was like in his mid-30s at the time, and I'm like, oh wow, I thought the Sheik was younger.
He looked 70 though.
Yeah, love the Sheik.
Great. Did he shoot on Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, Uncle Hacksaw too, Johnny. That's your uncle.
I know.
Remember? Turned down Tobago when I walked in. Yeah.
I remember. Yeah.
Hey guys.
What's that, Skills?
Say your Uncle Duggan?
For a minute. When we started Pro Wrestling Unplugged, he helped us. He was helping me and Trent when we started PWU. Yeah. But you know what happened, Donnie? You want to know what happened? I don't know if I ever told the story. We had Duggan with us at our grand opening, and Jackie from Pittsburgh sent all the talent to our grand opening, like Juventud Guerrera, Psychosis, Ron the Truth Killings. Right. But then when all of our guys went out there to her, she never met Duggan, never paid him nothing. So Duggan hit me back like, yo, where's the other half of this payday? Leg? Mm-hmm. And that's how I had the falling out with Duggan because of that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So she was supposed to cover the nut.
Yeah. Things got crazy. We're actually going back out to McKeesport in the middle of March. We're going to wrestle out there. We just got booked, me in the back seat.
Nice. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing, Donnie, before we go off the air, I want to talk to you and Skills as well. We're going to have to meet and really figure out what we're going to do for this 25-year Backseat Boys brand.
Yeah.
Because we have to make it special.
No, I agree.
So I'll tell you the date off air. Yeah. And then we'll start putting our heads together.
Yeah.
And we'll start making our key lime pie, so to speak.
Yes.
And, okay, cool. This is exciting. We're going to get to collab, bro.
I know. A Zoom collab. No, I'm excited for it, man. Yeah.
Me too. Well, thanks for being here.
I heard the show was good last weekend.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I heard good things about it.
Yeah, we lucked out, man. I was scared to death with the weather. We didn't go bankrupt. We're still open.
Hey,
but the weather, I can't thank the people enough that came out, Donnie. When I left the building, it was like pea soup.
Yeah.
It was just sticky and wet and icy, and just some of the people like Skills who had to go up north had to pull over. God bless them. They're lucky they even got home. Like I almost didn't want people like Skills making the trip.
That's always been the hard part, running in January, February, and March. I think I only ran one or two shows ever in January, February, Winter Wonder Slams. I did that a couple years. And then I usually just waited until the spring only because of that. You'd put so much work into a date, and then you get that threat of snow all week, and then people don't buy tickets, and then the day of, they're like, I don't know. And then even if it's a swerve and it's clear out, then you're like, oh, shit, I already made plans to do something else. So, like, I don't know. I always stayed away from that.
Donnie, but let me tell you what tortures me. Apple Weather. The Apple Weather
yes,
app?
Yes, yes.
Dude, it said we were getting 5 to 7 inches Saturday, but every other weather app said under 1 inch. That's a big discrepancy.
That's huge. That's stay in your house or take a chance to go somewhere, one of the two.
Yeah. So. Then 2 days ago, it said this coming Thursday, we were going to get 12 to 15 inches.
Yeah.
2 days ago. Today, zero. There's nothing
coming. I'm not into any of that shit. Like, and I've been just waiting till the day before. Like, when we went to Key West, my wife was weather hawking all week. And it said this and then said that. The day we flew out, it looked perfect. And it was great. The weather was fine. But it's like, I'm to the point now, I don't really even bother with it.
We'll see what happens. That's why I'm excited.
Yeah, I know. You had a good crowd. Yeah. Nice.
Great.
Thank
you. Objective. You guys are working hard. You guys are working hard. You're putting effort into this and it shows. I mean, you're not some goofs that run an event with 10 people and then say, oh, it was awesome, man. It was sold out. We only lost $5,000. What a success. I mean, this is dumb. So,
Donnie, that's why I hit you up, remember? And I was like, yo, yeah. I need advice.
I didn't get that till the next day.
Well, you were in sunny
Key West.
Key West. Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Bro. I would have answered for you. Yeah.
Well, who else would I ask about snow cancellation than someone in Key West? I've never had to cancel an event because of snow in my life.
No, you never have.
No.
Thank God you did it.
Yeah. That's when you look like a clown. If you would have canceled it and nothing happens, then you lose credibility for the next time around. You're out to date. When you cancel, it just decertifies or you lose credit on your next announcement, whatever your date is. And you run like the boy who cried wolf. That's why I tried. In all the years of promoting, I only canceled one event. It wasn't even my fault. I let two other people kind of run the deal on that in Pine Hill. And that was it. It was only show we ever canceled, one in Pine Hill. All the events I ever did. I always made sure if we announced a date, we went through with it because of that reason. There's nothing worse than announcing a date and promoting it for like 6 or 8 months every goddamn day. And then 2 days before they go, due to circumstances beyond our control or the building, an issue with the building or the mythical insurance or some nonsense. And then it gets canceled. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it. We had to listen to this idiot for 8 months promote his date. And he didn't get enough to cover his expenses up front before he can milk the boys and cry about not making money and short them on their envelope. So that's
see, I think track. I made it snow though, because I knew when I looked at that weather app that it was going to say snow. I knew, and then it did. So I feel I made it happen.
You manifested.
I did. I manifested it. You know,
it wasn't too much snow there though. When I got out there, it was more raining. It's like up north, it was just worse and worse.
Right. So but the fear, like when I was on my way to the event, I was driving on the Atlantic City Expressway, and it said in real big letters on the side of the road, like, bad weather's coming, be careful, you know. And I'm just like, no, like, and there was two or three of them.
It's the fear. It isn't the actual weather.
Right.
It's the threat of it, because then people have to prepare, but.
Right. And if you have kids, you're not going to bring your kids out knowing that you got to get them back at the end of the night in snow.
It's a big
just
difference.
You get there safe.
Bad weather at 7 p.m. is different than bad weather at 11 or 11:30.
Exactly. But
that would never happen to my show because it would never be more than 2 hours from bell to bell beginning to end. I would just end it at the 2 hour mark. If there was a match in the ring, good night, everyone. I would never, ever promote an event now that was more than 2 hours.
I feel like that should be the name.
I'm telling you, if I ever promoted it again, the entire show from beginning to end with the intermission would not be more than 2 hours.
That's smart.
Because and we could call average, it, yeah,
you can call it the 2 hour mark. That'll be the name of your show. Yeah.
Like 2 hours, like they have $5 wrestling. This would be 2 hour wrestling beginning to end. Come meet the stars before the show, during the intermission, and that's it. Bell time is 7. End of the card is 9 p.m. You're walking out the door.
I would like that.
Nobody cares about a 25-minute independent wrestling match. No one.
Yeah, we've been doing that. We've been running shows like in 2 hours, 2:10, and we out of there.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And it keeps the energy just going, you know? It's not dragging.
Like, remember the old Frank Goodman shows that were like 6.5 hours, 7 hours, and you're like, holy Christ, Frank. I get
posters look great, though.
Yeah, because he put everybody and his mother on there to
right.
sell tickets. I love
Frank. Right.
But right. I can't knock him. He was making money, but whatever. It wasn't my cup of tea.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, well.
It's been fun, Jess. I'm glad I could get on tonight.
Yeah, dude. Donnie, you missed me get inducted into the Celebrity Boxing Hall of Fame. You weren't what? There for that. I got inducted into the Celebrity Boxing Hall of Fame by Damon Feldman. I didn't know that
was a thing. Really? Who else is in it?
A lot of other people.
Oh, I have to tell
you. I got to look into who.
Is there a photo? Is there a video or something I can see of this?
Yeah, I'll send it to you. And I have the picture of the ring.
How about the picture with you with the ring?
Yeah, I have it somewhere.
Send it to me.
I have it somewhere. Yeah, I do have it. I just got to find it. Give me 1 second. But yeah, Donnie, it was really, it was shot on me, you know, because I would never do it. You know,
you would never petition for that or bark. Or...
I would never let anyone honor me at my own event.
No.
But oh, yeah, wow. There it is.
Wow, I like that jacket.
Thank you. That's Express, brother.
I know. It's over, brother. It's
that used to be. Remember when it was Express. Structure?
Members only. Yeah, Structure.
I used that's to only over. Wear that Structure. Skills is a fashion plate. Skills, that's another thing. I think in the future we can do like a fashion with Skills.
Skills with Skills. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Skills is over me, brother.
Yeah, I collect a lot of Ralph Lauren, a lot of old school game worn jerseys, stuff like that. You know, that's my thing.
Damn, Skills got Skills.
Like my brother Robbie. Same thing.
Yes. I should be good for the entire show next Monday. I don't think we have cheer.
Awesome. Well, let's start season 5 next Monday. We'll announce the date and we'll start the push for the Backseat Boys. Donnie, listen, let's make this event bigger than anything we've ever done.
I'm in.
And I was about to say, you're in, bro. Let's do it. I'm dealing you in.
I'm in, brother.
All right, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yes, sir.
All right, next week we'll try to get some more heads up on here. Skills, I'm going to need you here probably weekly leading into the show if you can, just because we're going to have a lot of battle rap stuff coming up.
Nice.
I'm with it. Anything you need, I'm here.
Love it, bro. All right, you guys. Have a good one. Stay tuned because we're going to be announcing stuff at SPO Wrestling on all major social media platforms. So long, everyone.
Peace.